All we want is you. The reason pray, reason talk, now we're crying, heaven send us. Can I get some people who have some seeds in the ground to just begin to declare that? Just help me out. I just want to hear you sing it. Say, we've been praying, we've been sowing, now we're crying. Come on, say it real big, say it. Come on, can you just say it one more time in this room? Let faith rise with you. Come on, say it. Say, we've been praying. We've been sowing. Now we're crying. Let me tell you something. Rain only matters to those who have seed in the ground. If you don't have seed in the ground, rain is a nuisance. But if you've been planting some things and you've been praying some things, when the rain comes, you can expect a harvest. Follow. This is for everybody who's been sowing a seed in a dry season. And you keep saying, I wonder where my harvest is. The harvest is connected to the rain. I'm telling you, there's a revival coming to this land. God is about to send the rain to this land. And every seed that you sow and every prayer that you pray is about to come forth and harvest. That's why we say, we've been praying.
Submit in the name of Jesus. Thank you for allowing God to use you tonight. I want to present the psalm and introduce to others, without any further ado, the mighty woman of God, First Lady Ann Collins. She is the co-partner. She is the co-everything with Pastor Dwayne Collins, who is a covenant partner with us here on the network, that is going to bless us with a word tonight and introduce herself to the Now Network. So in the mighty name of Jesus, I release all airwaves unto you right now, so we can know more, so we can understand what no more dead things are as you teach us tonight. God bless you, woman of God.
Praise the Lord. And thank you for having me on the Now Network. Amen. Pastor E, I would just like to, first of all, I give God the glory for all of the great things that he has done, and I thank him for being the head of my life.
Amen.
And I thank him for just loving me. When I didn't have no love for myself, when I was lost and out there confused, and I thought that there was nobody that loved me, but I thank God that God wrapped his loving arms around me, and he adopted me and took me in. And I was raised in the church. I had a mother and a father that had taught me the gospel. But I thank God for giving me the opportunity to know him for myself. Amen. And so I would like to thank you for allowing me just to get on and share the word with you all. I also like to thank you, Apostle E, for just having my husband on the Now Network. And it has truly been a blessing to hear you all and be able to share with you.
Amen. Amen. We're just gracious that God has connected us.
Amen.
Have your way.
Amen. Father God, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for one more chance to go before your people. Lord God, I ask that you remove anything in me that would stop your word from coming forth. Lord God, I ask that you would touch your people. These are your people that this message is going across the airways. God, I hope that I say something to help strengthen them and to encourage them. Lord God, I ask that as they hear this word, Lord God, if there's anything within them, Lord, show it to them, Lord God. I ask that through this message, Lord God, that you bring healing and restoration and deliverance, Lord God. And all these things, Lord, we ask and we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to be coming from Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, and we're going to be reading the verse 1 through 14. And it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Then he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones come together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said to the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet an exceedingly great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your grave and cause you to come out of your grave and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your grave, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. So we find in the scripture that the nation of Israel had been carried away, and the nation of Israel was in exile. They had been thrown apart, and they were mixed with all sorts of various people, much like we find today in the church, that we have been separated, and we have become in a state of dysfunction. We have begun to move out of going and being into the spirit, into doing what we want to do. So we see that as the house was divided out into the world, that there needed to be a period. First, there needed to be a physical restoration of the people. But then, my God, it also had to be a spiritual reawakening and restoration of the people. So as the church today, we have become inactive. We have become a dead thing. A bad thing in the sense that we are operating, and we are not operating in power. There, in some places, you can walk in the house of the Lord, and we don't let the spirit lead, but we have become where everything is, there has to be a certain order. The Holy Ghost is not ruling. The Holy Ghost is not ruling, but we have become to the point where if you don't sing my song, I won't worship. If this thing doesn't happen, I won't worship. If it doesn't go my way, I won't worship. We have become and we have put idols before the Lord. And when I say that we have put idols before the Lord, it's not that the Holy Spirit is leading. It is I that is leading. We are looking at man and we are not focused on God. So what needs to happen is there needs to be a shaking of the church. A shaking of the church where the Lord brings a deliverance into us. No more dead things in the church. No more moving without power in the church. No more moving without the power of the Holy Ghost. There should be a demonstration of power in the service. No more dead things. I find, you know, when I say no more dead things, we see that he is out and he's in a valley of bones. Bones represent something that once was alive, but now is dead. It was once alive, but now it is dead. So there needed to be, he said, Son of Man, you prophesy on it. You prophesy on it and bring it back alive. And he began to prophesy on it. And the life, but yet there was a shaking. The shaking that needs to happen in the church, somebody, is that there needs to be deliverance that needs to take place in the church. What is that dead thing that we are holding on to? What is that dead thing that's within you that is stopping you from letting the move of God take place in your life? What is that dead thing? For some of us, that dead thing may be holding on to our children and not releasing that to let the Lord have his way and do his will. So we hold on to that thing. I laugh because I have a dog, and if you give that dog a bone, that dog will hold on to that bone, and he'll chew it. And even if you take it away, he'll go back and get it. He'll go bury that bone. He will remember where that bone is. So what is that thing that's hurting you that you're holding on to? See, as a church, we need to let go. A lot of times we let guilt or anger or shame hold us, that people say that you are not worthy. I even had that with my life when the Lord was calling me. People saying, are you sure that the Lord is calling on you? Are you sure that it's your time? Are you sure that he really called you to be a minister? And they made me doubt myself. And then I began to think of all of the things that I went through, all of the shame. And we hold on to that. To hold on to that thing. When God has said that we are qualified, when he has called us to go and preach unto a nation, and we hold on to that thing and we hold it back. Let go of that dead thing and live. The Lord wants to bring life and bring life back into the church. But if we continue to hold on to those dead things, let go of that anger, let go of that hurt, let go of those past situations that took place, and look and live. But we hold on. We hold on to it. We hold on to it, and it stops the move of God. And so we see that we are in a place where a lot of people say that we're seeing things that happen in the world that we haven't seen before, that we haven't seen before yet in our time. But I tell you that there's nothing new under the sun. And we have gotten to the place where we get enticed by fancy words, and we don't let the Lord lead, but we have begun to worship man. We have begun to worship the preacher. Oh, he gonna come and give a word, and he gonna give a word, and he has to prophesy over me today. But you prophesy. He didn't say, he said, you go and prophesy. So we get led astray because we make our God not, and we place them up as an idol. And so I'm going to 2 Peter, and we see in verse 18, it says that, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and overcome. And the latter end is worse than the beginning. So we see these folks, and once we were free, but we let all that stuff, we let disobedience muck us up. We let hurt muck us up. We let anger muck us up. We let all different things, we let doubt muck us up. We will live out of the will of God instead of trusting him. And we let all those things get in our heart, and it stops us. And we are in a place then where we are worse than what we were as before. There are people waiting for us. There are people waiting for to be delivered. But how can we go and deliver someone else if we are locked up ourselves? We got all these things inside of us that should not be. How can we go and preach to a nation deliverance if the church has not got deliverance flowing within itself? If we as the servants of God have anger in us, if we have anger in us where we can't get together in fellowship, if you don't go to my church, you're not saved. If you don't acknowledge me when I come in, if you don't acknowledge me as a woman of God, no, I don't want my church to go and visit this church. I don't want fellowship. Y'all don't go over there. And we let ourselves be put up as an idol. We let things come before what the Lord is saying. And all the time, the Lord is waiting to restore us. He's waiting to breathe on us. See, when we see the first, I like to look at it, look at this, and I want you to see this. The church is in a state where the first Adam came. In Genesis, the first Adam came, and the Lord breathed life on it, and Adam was a living being. So much like the church, we were tricked. We were tricked by the serpent, led astray. And when we led astray, we perish where there is no power. You see, anytime you walk into the house of God, it should be led by the Spirit. There should be healing taking place. There should be deliverance taking place. There should be a praise going forth that we know that it's from heaven. But when something is lacking, because we're doing it of ourselves and not of God. So we end up in this place where we have become a dead thing, where we have become a dead thing. There isn't any life. And we wonder why that there are people coming in, why there are people getting healed, why our churches seem like they're in a worse state, why our cities seem like they're in bondage. Because we have departed and we are not giving the unadulterated gospel. Because we have put our will above the will of God. But how many know that just like the first Adam, the Lord sent that second Adam? And that is that shaking that is going to come. Where we see the shaking in the scripture, let's go back to Ezekiel. Where we see the shaking in the scripture, where he said, "And so I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone." And see, that is the revival and the repentance that needs to come back to the church. He said, if my people would fall on their face, if my people will pray, if repentance would start in the church, and if we would confess these and have the Lord to deal with them, if the Lord take this anger out of me so that I can fully serve the Lord, take this doubt out of me so I can move forward and do your will, Lord, take this sickness out of me that I'm holding on to and using as an excuse so that I can go out and do your will. Lord, take these things out of me. Remove these things. Lord, I don't want to be a dead thing. There needs to be a repentance that comes through the church. There's the deliverance that needs to happen. See, see, we need people. There's going to be people that are going to stand up, that are not ashamed, and they are not afraid, and they will preach the gospel, and that they will call the church back to repentance, that they are not, that they don't want to be glorified. They want to give God the glory. No, you don't need to know my name. No, I don't need you to, no, I don't need to be recognized across the world. But all I want to do is be able to tell somebody about you. But it needs to be a cleaning up of within ourselves so that we can go forth, so that we can go forward and that we can preach deliverance. We can preach deliverance in the land. And see, once we have fell on our face and repented, then the Lord is going to re-pour his spirit. There needs to be a re-pouring of his spirit out all across the land. We need to start re-letting the Holy Ghost lead. I'm tired of being in church and it being a dead thing, where it's so rehearsed that you can hardly feel the spirit of the Lord moving. We need to go back. We need to get back to that place. I remember when I was a child and I went into church and they would lay on the altar and they would holler and cry out till the move of God took place. We need to go back. We need to go back so that deliverance can take place within us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. There needs to be a cleaning up that happens in the church. And so we know that we have gotten to a place where there's no faith. We want to mix the things that are godly with ungodly. We have an air. We have an air of godliness, but we deny the power of the Lord. We have gotten to a place that we have lost our flavor, where it used to be somebody could look at us and just know that's a woman of God. But how can they know that we are women and men of God if the church has become so ingrained that we want to be popular like the world? We don't want to be set apart no more. We want to do the things that they want to do, and at the same time think that God is glorified. I hear people sometimes say, no, when you talk about living holy, Sister Ann, it don't take all that. It don't take all that. No, power of the Holy Ghost to keep you and keep you away from those ungodly things. No, you cannot be like the world and think that it's a pleasing thing unto God. We cannot be so mixed up that you can't tell the sanctified praise team from shake dancing from like they out in the world. No. There has to be a separation. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so we see, I'm going to go to John, 1 John 2 and 15. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful Savior.
Where is your reader at? Lord. He should have already had
Love
that lined
Lord.
Up.
Neither the things of the world. So we know that we cannot love the things of the world and behave like the world and say that we are alive. You know, we don't want to be walking around like the walking dead. I want to be alive. I want my life and my works to speak that somebody can look at me and say that's a woman of God. I see Jesus. There are people waiting for us to be able to come out and prophesy unto them and tell them your story. See, I was, you know, I cited a little bit of my testimony And I kind of want to go back there. Because, see, I once was one of them dead things. I was one of those dead things. I grew up in the church. And by being raised in the church, I knew the scripture. I knew the scripture. And I gave my life to Christ when I was a young child. But I let the enticing things of the world pull me out of the church. And so once I got pulled out of the church, I got involved in some things where I met a young man that being hard-headed and disobedient, being disobedient to my parents, that got me out of the church. And I began to get out. When I was out of the church, I got involved in drugs. At one point, this young man took me off and took me away from my friends and family and took me to a city where I didn't know nobody and tried to force me into prostitution. But how many know that when you have a parent that has covered you, prayed over you, that I found myself being forced to dance and try to do things that were unholy. So I became a dead thing. And even though I knew the Lord, I was a dead thing. I was a dead thing. I began to get involved in drugs. I went through a depression where I was dead on the inside. I wanted to die. At one point, I was getting ready to kill myself. And I took some pills and I said, you know, Lord, I'm just going to lay down and die. I'm just going to lay down and die. I always had a dad that no matter what, he would call me and he would pray for me. But I still would not give in and yield to the Holy Ghost. I would not yield to the power. So I was dry like those bones. Even though I knew how to get life, I was dry. And so then I was able to get away from that situation. And I still denied the Lord. I'd go into the church, and I'd be in there for a little bit, and then I would get tricked out again. And then I met another young man, and I started having children, and it was a bad situation and a bad relationship where I felt like I was so unworthy. I felt so unworthy. I felt that I wasn't deserving of anything. I had all these hurtful and misconceptions and misguided thoughts that I couldn't see myself the way that the Lord saw me. I hated myself. I cut on myself. I drank. I took pills. I sold drugs. Anything that I could do to try to relieve that pain, because I was dead. No life in me. And I went through this stage, and they would try to pray me out, and I would come to church, and I would try to get free, but then I couldn't stay free, and I kept going back, and I did this dance, in and out, in and out, in and out, till I finally ended up, I had my last child. And when I had my last child, I had promised the Lord that I would serve him. But I went back on it. So when I gave birth to my last child, I went into the, they said that something was wrong was the last thing that I remembered. And I went in, and they said something's wrong. We got to put you to sleep. We got to take the baby right now. And that was the last thing that I remembered. I went through surgery, and I came out, and I looked, and I just seemed black, black, black. All the life, unbeknownst to me, all the life had left out of my body. I died, they called my father and they told him, Pastor Davis, we went in and the last quart of blood and we put it in your daughter and there was nothing else that we could do. And so we need you to come to Madison, Wisconsin right now. We need you to come. Her daughter was born, and the baby is now in the NIC unit. And we don't know if this baby is going to make it. And my dad said that he hung up the phone, and he began to pray. And he prayed, and he prayed. And he prayed all the way to Madison, Wisconsin. And all I can remember is just laying there. And I came out of the darkness, and all I remember is a light. And I woke up on a cold table. I woke up on a cold table. The Lord gave me my life back that day. The Lord gave me my life back that day so that I could serve him. He breathed life back in my body. He freed me that day so that I would not be a dead thing. He gave me back, how do you say it, how he built, he rebuilt, and he put the synonyms back, and he put the blood back. Because I had completely bled out. He put the blood back on me. He put everything back in working order. And still I had to lay there. I laid there for 3 days. For 3 days and was kind of in and out and didn't know what was going on. 3 days were over and I came back and I started getting my strength. Then I decided, you know, I promised. I said, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to live for you. I want to live for you. The Lord spared me. He spared my baby. My baby, my child, is now 14 years old. At the time, they said my child would not walk, would not talk. She would be mentally retarded and that she would never have any quality of life. My baby didn't even have lungs to breathe or eat. I have a healthy child. My child was healed. My child is walking. My child is intelligent. My child can do anything. My child can run, jump, skip. We don't have to sit in a hospital. I have, in fact, the most that I have been to the hospital with this child in years was a cold. He gave us back life. And I'm so thankful that the Lord, when the Lord gave me back my life, he also breathed on me. He also breathed on me. And he gave me back the Holy Ghost. Where I thought I was not worthy. And I never thought that I could be redeemed and that I would be saved and that I would be married to a man of God. That I could have that story. And been through all the things that I went through and had been disobedient and strayed from the Lord. I never thought that he would turn everything around and work it back together for my good. Now I can go out. I can go forth. I can prophesy life over somebody else that you don't have to be a dead thing. You don't have to live with shame. See, shame, that's the one thing that we need to get off of us. We need to get in church. We need to get that shame off of us. We need to stop living with a mask. If something is wrong with you, if you got hurt or malice, or you've got these situations that you've been through that you are still holding on and they still got you bound, you know, we need to take those masks off and if you're suicidal, tell us you're suicidal. Let us grab you by the hand. Then I know what to pray for. The Lord wants to bring deliverance and healing to us, but he cannot bring life back into a dead situation if we don't move back and let God be God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So my thing that I would like to say is that, you know, that he wants to bring a restoration and a healing back to us. God, remove those masks. Don't be ashamed of your testimony, because there's someone else waiting to hear it, that your testimony can help deliver them. But first you have to be free. And the only way that you can be free is to give those things back to God and ask them to take it out of you. Amen. Amen.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can say this that caught me right off the bat is that aren't as believers, woman of God, you delivered. You gave freely. But I just have to catch and connect with you on this point here is that aren't we as believers ready to see God move now?
Nah.
We talk about prayer. We talk about him healing. We talk about him doing this and doing that. We talk about walking on water. We talk about raising. But aren't we ready to see it by our faith actually come to fruition here on earth?
Now.
I'm ready to see what I'm seeing, though. I'm not even going to try to pretend. I see God move right now, constantly.
Mm-hmm.
But aren't we as a people ready to see the move of our faith, the productivity of our abiding in him and producing much fruit? That got me the most out of there. Aren't you ready to really experience God right now?
Yes, and he's waiting. He's waiting.
Oh, he's ready. He did it all. It's already he's ready.
Now. He will do that thing now. All you have to do is just consent of it and let it go. He'll take
it. Oh, you all up in my sermon.
The reason why we struggle is because we hold on to that thing. We give
Come
it
on.
To God and we take it back. We give
Repent.
It to him and we take it back. Then we call ourselves repentant, and then you know what? Lord, I'm just going to take this back. See,
I can handle it now.
You got that
monkey off my back. I can handle it now. you got them debtors off my speed dial. I can handle it now. No, you can't. When he said cast all your cares on him, that means completely. Because I have enough
completely.
To do with trying to perfect my relationship with him so I'm honorable in his eyesight. So now we can be effective. Oh, my God. Come on. If you are on this broadcast tonight in this word, no more dead things. I'm going to challenge some folks tonight to leave here like never before with no more dead things. You don't have to call nobody and make it ugly. You don't have to quit anything and make people feel uncomfortable, but you have to make a decision to say no more dead things. And I don't have to tell you what they are. I just that first lady thing I can't do. Pastor Ann can't do the same thing. She all we can do is show you how we were able to release those things and give them to God. But it's up to you to claim no more dead things. Come on, dial one and get in on this conversation. Women speak now and be heard. My first caller, I'm doing this one under the bus. Pastor Dwayne, I got to let you come up in here because you should have been reading. She read for you. I would expect it. I was like, okay, I know he got the reading. What's up, man of God?
Hey, I'm there with her, man. I got the kids on five
Sundays. That's right. That's right. Somebody got to do the work. We're going to release you right now. We're going to bring you back in a minute. Minister Carolyn, I see you on there. You on fire because I know she has touched your spirit this evening. Welcome to Women Speak Now with Pastor Ann.
Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Good evening, everybody. She has me like over here in tears. This is my story. I grew up, I went to Catholic school out 12 years, and I ended up messing with guys that all of them ended up the same person, just a different name. And I carry guilt. I have one sister with my mom, and she was light-skinned and had her eyes changed colors, and she was small. And I was dark and big, and there was always resentment there. And it wasn't so much of the looks. It was like I felt like my mom catered to her more. And we were 10 years apart. And she was a drug addict, and she got clean. And my mom and them idolized her, and I felt like that took attention away from me, because now here I was on drugs, and it was so hard to get off. And I held resentments, and she would still argue, cuss, and fuss, and we would fight, like, in the middle of the streets. Up until 2 years ago, after our parents passed, I still held the resentments. Then I would go to church, and I would do good for a while, and then I would come out, and I remember the strongest guilt that I hold is my mom had bought me a brand new car for going to a recovery home, and everybody said that was insane. But she went to work Thursday. She passed by the house on Friday, and I was loaded, and I was laying down, and I heard her ask my dad, "Is Bubbles in the house?" And he said, "Yeah." But I didn't get up and go to the door. I just covered my hair with the cover because we had been arguing over the car. And that was the last time I heard my mother's voice. And every time I would think about it, I would go get a high. And it still inks me up. And when we kept calling her the next day, I just knew that my mother was dead. And I wasn't going to hear her again. And then my dad left a couple of months after her. And it was like I went to sleep with drugs. I woke up with drugs. But I, no matter how much I smoked or drank, I stayed in that house alone. And I prayed. I was getting high, and I was praying. And I was crying out to my parents. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And I blame myself for both of my parents' death. And they used to always say, "You're going to be the death of me." And I didn't get it right until they were gone. And I always say it takes some of us to die in order for others to live, because they enabled me. And they used to put my sister out and make her sleep in a camper. And I still held resentments with her. And they didn't do all of that to me. And so it's like I feel it, and I would try to be nice, but my evil ways always popped up. Or if I asked God for something, I believed and I have faith, but I didn't wait on him. If I had to go lie or manipulate or whatever I had to do to go get it, I went and got it. And I knew it wasn't right. I knew it wasn't of God. And I've always helped people. I always loved children. And my mom was the same way, but it's just I've been holding on to it. And it really came out tonight listening to you. It was so much of listening that it was like, that's my story. And it's like I can't shake it no matter what I do. In the back of my mind, or I can hear something or see something, and I'll think, or if me and my sister get in an argument, she'll say, "It's your fault, Daddy did," and then that'll take me out. And it's like I can't let anybody work me like that again, because I know what God has for me, and I know what I have for others.
Yes. You get to talking, and I'm like, oh, this girl just kind of relive my testimony things that I've been through, because both of my parents are deceased, and it went about the same way. My mother first, and I was rebellious, and I'm a PK kid. I'm talking my father with a very prosperous church and very prosperous ministry, and I spit in their face and did all the things that are contradicted. But the one thing that the Lord wanted me to share with you, this is off the bat, my first lesson, when I really understood that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, I never lost the connection to my parents. Do you know, and I'm testifying to you today, that my mother and my father's spirit guide me more now than they did when they were here on earth. I was rebellious. If they said up, I went down. If they said left, I went right. But I know now that the influence of the spiritual, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If I spend enough time with the Lord, I'm going to be in the presence of the same spirit. And I'm encouraged every day to grow and to do better when I wouldn't listen in the physical. So be encouraged there that it's not your fault. You are not the cause. You don't have that much power. I don't have that much power to cause death to people unless we do something foolish with a gun or a knife or something criminal. Just being honest, it wasn't your fault. Let yourself off the hook. Second,
and it's ironic that you said to be absent from the body is to be present for the Lord, because the one thing they did let me do when they were making arrangements was, what did I want to put on their gravesite? Because both of my parents are buried together. That's the way they wanted it.
Right.
And that's the scripture I put on there.
Look at there. See, so they've never left you. Now, you might have left him.
Yes.
Just like I did, you know, because when you're not in the presence of Jesus, you can't be in the presence of spirituality that is in his presence. Okay. So the influences can't be, but look at God now. Look what the testimonies of the effectual, fervent, righteous people that speak here tonight. This is a purging for you, because I know where you're about to go. You don't know, but I know what you got. You don't know what you got yourself into, but you're about to go through some purging. Okay. And I see God now opening this thing, because I started to say, as that, you know, we've established some kind of a relationship as far as ministry and mentoring. I started to click and say, don't say nothing else. It's time for us to go to another level. And God says, shut your mouth. She needs to purge. Because when y'all go hard, we can't be crying and whining about nothing. We got to be about our Father's business and ready to go to the next level. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. God bless.
Now.
Pastor, I hope I'm not offending you guys, but that first lady thing, I just ain't with that. Pastor Ann, any comments for Carolyn?
The thing that I would say to Carolyn, and I had the same similar situation. My mother, before she passed away, I had left the church, did all that crazy stuff. I was having the doing whatever. And I felt that, I always felt like I had a sense of that I disappointed her. And before she passed, I was able to come home. And I was able to get to spend time with her and get to know my mother again as a person. And then she died. And, you know, I always felt like, what if, you know, with the things that she went through, what if I would have stayed in the church, or what if I would have stayed home with mom and dad and I would have took better care of her, or if I would have been more obedient. But then, you know what, the thing that I would beat myself up about different things, and you know what, she always has the most forgiving heart and would just grab me and love me anyway.
See now you talking about my mom.
That I did wrong and love me anyway.
My mother.
Yes, with your bad self, I still love you. And when she passed away, I felt, you know, like I felt guilty for a long time, and that was part of my problem. Why I was out doing that, I was out doing some things that I didn't have no business, because I let that beat me up. But the thing that I had to learn, I first had to learn that I had to forgive myself. I had to forgive myself. I had to accept that I made mistakes. I had to pray and forgive myself. And then I had to pray to forgive others, because I knew that it was other people that were saying, you know, well, if y'all hadn't have been bad, if y'all gave y'all mama a stroke.
Yeah.
Y'all kids were horrible. Y'all gave y'all mama a stroke. And that ate me up. They didn't know it when they said it, but that hurt me. It broke me. But it took me, I didn't really get healed until I had to give those things to the Lord. And so I want to encourage you. And this is the Lord in the prayer in Matthew, and I still repeat this to myself sometimes. In Matthew, when you go to verse 6, when he does the Lord's prayer, and he says, "And forgive us our debt, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Yes,
for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Amen.
Forever.
"For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So, honey, I had to learn to forgive myself. I had to accept that the Lord has forgiven me for those things, and then I had to go and release other people. Because as long as I held on to that hurt, I had aunties that I didn't speak to for years out of hurt, just for some petty stuff that was said at a funeral when we were all hurting, and for years I wouldn't even speak to them. Forgive me, forgive them, let it go. And then you know what? When I got married, the most beautiful thing happened. That
yes,
I took a picture with every one of my aunties, and they hugged me, and they loved on me, and they looked at me. And the strangest thing, which wasn't strange, but I just kind of cried when they said it, and
yes,
they looked
Jesus.
At me, and they said, "You're just as beautiful as your mother was. Look at you. You got a glow about yourself because of the Holy Ghost. And look how beautiful you look. Oh, my goodness, if your mother was here, if your mama was here,
my God,
she'd be smiling and you made your mama proud. You would make your mama proud." And they loved on me. And you know what? That it felt so good. Even after, and that had been years. They didn't even know they hurt me like that. They didn't even know. But when that was the reaffirming thing after I had already forgave them. But when they came back and they said those kind words, that was a reaffirming thing, and I just felt a total relief. So you forgive yourself and forgive
Amen.
Them.
Amen. Please forgive yourself. Mr. Carolyn, thank you so much for dialing in. Mr. Terry, you're live on Women Speak Now with Pastor Ann Collins.
Good evening. Good evening, pastors and Pastor Collins. Good evening. I really enjoyed your testimony. There's so much in there that you gave insight on. But I really, what stuck with me was when your father prayed, when he prayed for you and your child, that she's now 14 and doing well and everything, that power in that prayer, just your testimony completely. Ooh, glory be to God, I tell you. You brought a word here, and I just heard you and Pastor E and you speaking with Minister Carolyn about forgiveness, and you said you first have to forgive yourself. Yes, yes, because we know through the Bible, but I had to learn that forgiving. You know, you don't forgive anybody of anything, the Heavenly Father will not forgive you of our trespasses, of my trespasses. So that was an awesome word tonight. Glory
yes, it
to
was.
God.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. I'm telling you, she took me to Ezekiel, and you know, there's parts of his word I haven't got to, but you broke that down so much clarity to it. And I won't even have to be bugging past three about it. But, you know, I say, glory be to God. God bless
you.
You guys
keep on seeing. Now, you better watch yourself. Now, you see all these new programs coming out. We got the mentoring, the leadership boot camp starting next Tuesday. That's because someone said, "I need this. We got to provide it." Now, you're saying, I have another show, Bible study, going through the scriptures. Scripture by scripture by scripture, we will give you what you need. Just let us know.
Yes.
That's what this network is here for.
Amen.
And we're believing that God is providing us. And I have the energy.
Yes.
And I have the information. I study. This is what I do. I love this word, and I'm going to keep doing it. Let's keep growing. And watch out for the next Bible study. I mean, Bible study, not just a talk show. Really going through scripture by scripture by scripture by scripture. Mm-hmm. And really being exposed to the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you so much, woman of God.
Amen. God bless you all.
God bless you. Wanda Gibson, you're live on Women Speak Now with Pastor Ann.
Okay. Good afternoon, Pastor Ann, Pastor E, and everybody.
Good afternoon.
What a wonderful word tonight. That something just brought back memory. And the young lady, what her name was, Carolyn. I would just like to say, I went down that road because my mom, number one, my dad, mom, I felt she gave me away. So as it went down through the years, you know, basically I got a chance to say goodbye and we walked all right. But through the years, you know, I just really, really despised her. And I thought that I was just a bad person. I went through the drug thing outside of that. But see, you know what? The Lord fixed it where she spent my first days with me because she gave me to my grandmother at 9 months old. But then God gave me the courage to come back to California. I spent the last days of her life. I sit there at her bed because she was in a coma. And I'm talking about, I had to bend. I had to tell her, Mama, I was mad at you because you did this. Mama, I was mad at you this. And then, you know, and then the same time, I really at that time didn't know that I was venting and praying, calling out to God because I wanted that closure with my mom. I wanted her to know that I loved her. And in that, now, that even in her passing away, I was there. I was able to. I even fixed her hair. So I know that through myself that sometimes, you know, it doesn't make a bad person. I've been through the drug, and I learned a long time ago, the higher I got, the more of something. I'm talking about this is just for me. Hey, you know, hey, it didn't take me nothing to dwell on to get high. But I had to learn to go within myself. I went county to county, city to city. But I had to realize one thing. I was steady taking me. I was taking Wanda everywhere I go. I was taking me. I was taking me, you know. One, forget messing up. I blamed it on the Lord. I blamed it on everything. But today I can sit up and say, I can even say right now, and it hurt me, is that even the night that my son passed away, I didn't remember it because I was high. I was drunk and I was high. And for years, it chased me. But today, I can pray about it, and I'm in a different level. I know that I didn't do nothing to let my mom go. I didn't do nothing, my son. I was just in another lane. But today, through God's grace, I can, you know, I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable with that. Sometimes when that little bitty crack come in, I have to say, Pastor E always say, I had to say, get out of there, Wanda, because I know it only take a second. Wanda,
come on now.
Yeah, I just say, I had to say, Wanda, get out of there, because I don't even need a minute. I need a half a second, and I can mess it up. And I just want to say that it was a beautiful message. I needed that. And to you, Carolyn, today it gets better, and it goes on. And I fought that battle for years and years and years. But, you know, sometimes...
Oh my
and
God!
I keep it real. Sometimes that's when the enemy. Now that you confess and you feel that way. Now that the enemy know that you all right. Hey, you better watch out because he coming back. And I just wanted to say that. So you got to stay prepared because just as you doing all right. Hey, that's when he's out now. Hey. I'm talking about this high. I know how you do me. This all right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Wanda, you think you doing all good, girl. let me show you. Bam, there it is. And I just want to just thank you guys.
That
and
is the blessing.
Blessed,
hey, Wanda, can I share this with you? Guess who she just signed up to go through mentorship and training, leadership training course with?
Who?
You answer that question.
Okay.
Oh yeah, she's about to join the Now Network Leadership Boot Camp starting on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You've been through it already. You already know what the principles are, but she's already signed up. Does she really know what she got herself into?
Oh yeah. Okay, but you got to be ready. Yeah, you better put your boxing gloves on. Hey, wait a minute. Clean neck. Wait a minute. All the paper. Whatever you need.
Bring it on.
But keep your sword in your hand. You got to keep your sword, and that's the word. That's the Bible.
Yes.
You got to keep it there. That's the only thing you can fight off. Because they get rough on you. They get rough on you, girl. Really, they
do. Pastor E don't play.
Okay.
And Pastor E don't play. We're going to stick with that word. God bless you, Wanda.
And he throw you on the bus, too. Okay.
Okay. Now, at least I'm driving it. Look, at least I'm driving it.
Okay.
If somebody else ain't driving it, at least I'm driving it.
Okay. All right. God bless.
Hey, Wanda, I want to put this out there. I'm putting everybody under the bus. I need volunteers for October 27th in Bellflower. We have been honored to do the Harvest Festival. And everybody say, what's the festival? Well, we're taking away from Halloween. We're doing a Harvest Festival at the center, at the main stage center there in Bellflower. If you get involved, let me know. I need help.
Well, I can help you. Let me know what I got to do. I need to get involved.
You
can count me in. Okay.
Oh,
God bless.
God bless you. Now, there's somebody else out there today. I want to throw you under the bus. But your testimony, because this is mother thing, keeps coming from both sides. That mother does everything and sacrifices. But there's those other mothers out there that take advantage of their blessings. And there's some people out there, friends of mine, that have been hurt by mothers that treated them wrong. And just as Minister Carolyn said, it was like one was blessed, one was not. That is not just with one. But I know. Please dial one. Don't make me do it. But you need to speak tonight and share how you're growing and how you're learning how to forgive and now live because of your release and your ability to forgive your mother for being who she was. She didn't know it. She only did what she knew how to do. But now that she's went on, that forgiveness is for me. That forgiveness is for you. I want you to get on this line right now. If you don't dial one, I'm not going to put you under the bus. But anybody else, come on, dial one and get involved. Amen. Sharon Moses, you are live here on Women Speak Now with Pastor Ann.
Hello, Pastor Ann, Pastor E.
I had to. I'm sorry.
I wasn't going to dial one, but I said I know he's going to put me under the bus. Because
well,
like,
somebody
I
needs to hear
to
your testimony and your deliverance.
Yes, I went through, I had the worst mother in the world. And anything that she could do to me, she did it. And, you know, it's like verbally abuse. She, you know, she broke me until the point that I got to the point that I thought that I wasn't worth anything. I wasn't nothing because I was so used to her telling me that all the time. You're nothing. Nobody will ever love you. You would be by yourself. You know, even to the point when I had my children, she thought that I couldn't raise my children. And my thing was, you made me a better mother because of the type of mother you was. You taught me that I never wanted my children to go through what... I never wanted my children to go through what I went through. And all the way up, my mother was nasty to me all the way up till she got sick. And she suffered a long time. But God had me to be there for her. I had to be there for her. I had to take care of her. I had to do everything. And I was so angry because I couldn't understand why me. You know, this woman hated me. Why me? Why do I have to be the one to take care of her? But God was showing me that that's what he needed me to do in order to help her. And I had to get past that anger, but it took me a long time to get past that anger. And it seemed like once she passed, it passed on to my stepfather. Then he took on her spirit. But God has shown me that I am better than that, that he loves me, and that's the only thing that matters. And I wasn't going to pray. I wasn't going to say anything because I was getting so full just listening to all the testimonies. And it just took me back that I just couldn't say anything. But now I am strong.
Oh, Jesus.
I am worthy. I am better than that. I raised two boys.
Ooh.
And I have one in college, one worked three jobs, and they do anything for me. My oldest want to tell you, I don't fight. I respect everybody, but just touch my mama, that's it. But because that, and they both are in church, they both love the Lord, and I am truly blessed. So, Sister Carolyn, I am so happy for you to hear that you are letting it go, because you should let it go, because your parents are gone. They knew your heart. God knows your heart, just like he knew my heart. I still have my days that I get angry whenever I think about the things that my mom did, but the Lord has to keep on letting me know, Sharon, let it go. And once I let it go, I'm okay. And I've learned to love me some me. And it took me a long time to do that. But with the help of the Lord and with my children and with all the strong people that God put into my life, I could say that I am truly blessed. And I am on fire for the Lord. I love the Lord. I could never say I don't love the Lord. I can never turn my back on the Lord because he had brought me so far, because I hated myself at one point. I just couldn't even stand to look in the mirror at myself. I hated myself just that much.
Oh, my God.
But now it's like I'm healed from that. And it was only by the grace of God that I am healed from that. One time the devil told me, why don't you kill yourself? Nobody wants you.
Right.
And I was like, oh, no.
No. No. You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth saving. So you anyway. Oh my God. You know what? There's like and because all of us are stronger, we still need a prayer of deliverance. Because that spirit, see, we're not battling against flesh and blood. That spirit, just because even though we're discussing it in victory, there may be somebody out there weak that spirit can fall on them. I need somebody, oh my God, to pray for no more. No more dead things. Oh, my God. See you didn't think we was going to tie this all together, did you?
No more
dead things.
No more dead things.
All them old words. All them negative sayings. All the stuff that people say you were no good. All the stuff that say you weren't going to live to 18. You know, they said, I'll never make 18. I'm 54 now. I have superseded the expectations of this world.
Yes,
but it wasn't by my power and my might, but by the Spirit of God. Free us in the name of Jesus. Woman of God, pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
What's your name, woman of God?
Sharon.
Sharon.
And we want to add, look, we want to add Sharon. We want to add Carolyn. We want to add Pastor E. We want to add Minister Terry. We want to add just group us all in. The whole Now Network team. Minister Wanda, Minister Sharon Moses, and Sharon Glover. My whole P2P family, whoever you are, put us all in this prayer. Oh, in the name of Jesus.
Father God, Lord, we stand before you, Lord Jesus. We worship you,
hands.
Lord, just for who you are,
you.
Lord God.
Thank
we
you.
Worship you, Lord. We want to worship you tonight in spirit and in truth, Lord God.
Thank
Lord,
you.
We ask that if there is anything that is in us that is not like you, Lord God, that you take it out. Lord, we come against the spirit of anger, Lord God. We come against the spirit of resentment, Lord God. We come against the spirit of hurt, Lord God. We bind the spirit of unforgiveness, Lord God. We bind the spirit of lack, Lord God. We bind the spirit of thinking that we are less than what you see us as, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you renew our lives, Lord God. Give us the right spirit, Lord God. Lord, more than anything, Lord, we ask that you allow us to see ourselves the way that you see us, Lord God. No more dead things in us, Lord God. No more dead things. Bring deliverance to your people, Lord God. We ask that if it's anything, search our hearts, Lord God. Search our minds, Lord God. Search our lifestyles, Lord God. Anything that we are doing that is pleasing you and that is out of the will of God, Lord.
Right now, Jesus.
That you remove it from us, Lord God. Put us on the right path,
take it away.
Lord God. Lord, let us be able to stand up for you, Lord God. Let us stand up for you in righteousness and truth, Lord God. Let us stand up and be able to be a witness, Lord God. Lord, and if you see, Lord God, make us a testimony. Make us a living testimony so that we can go back, Lord God, so we can go back and help someone else get free, Lord God. Lord, just be as sweet. You just move on your people, Lord God. Move in their hearts, Lord God. Move in their mind, Lord God. Send them freedom, Lord God. Peace on today. Joy on today. Love on today. We bind the spirit of depression, Lord. No more. No more will we be bound.
No more.
No more dead things. No more holding on the things that hold us back. No more.
No more.
No more. Thank you,
Jesus. No more.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
No
more.
We want to stand up. We want to declare your word. We want to live for you. We want to be free. We want to worship you in spirit.
Oh, my God.
We want to be
filled with love. No more.
We want to be. Thank you, Lord
Jesus.
We want to be led by your spirit.
Thank you.
We want you to die like us now. You want us, we want to be no more generation of curses, Lord. Move on out, Lord. We renounce those things. I am not what happened to my mother. I am not what happened to my father. I am not what the circumstances happened in my life. I am worthy to serve you, Lord God. I am worthy to serve your word.
Yes, I am, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Right now, Jesus. Right now, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I walk upright and can live a righteous life. I am free, Lord Jesus.
I'm free.
I am free to live for you. I am free to worship you. I am free. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the freedom. We thank you for the freedom. We thank you for the love. We will never be bound again. We will never be bound again. No more dead things. I have life. I have life more abundantly, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
I have life. Thank you, Lord, for breathing on your people again. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for speaking into our lives. Lord, now that I have life, I can go back and show somebody else to I can go back and speak to my family. My kids will be saved. My husband will be saved. My friends will be saved. My family will be saved. I don't have to steady pray out that I can give it to you, God. I can lay those things down, Jesus. I can lay those things down and serve you, Lord. I can lay those things down.
I'll serve you. I'll serve you. I'll serve you.
serve you, Lord.
I'll serve you, Lord.
I will serve you in spirit and truth. I don't care who walks away from me, but I will be here crying out to you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the deliverance and your people, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Listen to this song. Please don't hang up. Please do not hang up. Please stay with us for this ending. Please do not hang up.
You clean me up. You thought I was a star boy.